This is Dick Bertel. Remember how we used to look forward to those great radio programs of yesterday, especially during the Christmas season? They were like old friends somehow. Many of them were repeated year after year, and year after year we would enjoy them all over again. The programs are gone now, but their echo remains. Let's turn back the clock again tonight. Close your eyes and listen. Good evening, everyone. Tonight, WTIC presents its third annual edition of Echoes of Christmas Past. Tonight, once again, you'll hear the greatest story ever told. You'll meet Jack Benny, Mary Livingston, Don Wilson, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, Amos and Andy, and our special guests, Lum and Abner. And now let's meet the man who makes all of this possible. The man with 1,500 hours of radio memories on tape, Mr. Ed Corcoran. Well, Ed, this is the third year of our show. You've brought back many memories in the past, and I know you have more for us tonight. But before we get to them, I want to find out about the reaction to last year's show. I understand that our broadcast has been heard all around the world.
That's right, Dick, especially the Fred Allen portion, which is really one of the radio's most classical sketches. And I've heard people in England, South Africa, in various places in the United States all have copies of this. So I'd say we have now a worldwide audience for our Christmas shows.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm very pleased to hear that and very flattered. We have four of the great shows that were on radio during the 40s and early 50s. And we're going to start off tonight with a story that had as its theme a religious figure each week. I'm thinking of the greatest story ever told. This was a most unusual program in its approach to the Bible, wasn't it, Ed?
Yes, I rate it among the finest programs ever done on radio, Dick, because what they did was to take biblical themes and portray them, let's say, in modern language. You don't hear any of the these, thous, and many of the other words associated with the Bible, but rather you hear the things they're saying, but they're saying them in everyday English. And it made the characters much more believable.
Also, I think that this program is remarkable in its commercial approach.
Well, radio, like television of today, had sponsors, and most programs had an opening sponsor. They had one in the middle and one on the end, and then one when they closed. But the sponsor of this particular program, the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, only had a five-second commercial at the end of the broadcast, which was in very good taste considering the type of program that this was.
The greatest story ever told. This afternoon, we present No Room at the Inn, the first of two Christmas season dramas about the birth of that child who was to live the greatest life ever lived. It was a bad time. The heavy hand of Caesar was on the people. In the towns and the cities, there was fear in the air. Even far from the towns and cities, there was uneasiness. High up in the hills of Judea, two shepherds watch over their flocks. Now, the shepherds look beyond their flocks and down into the valley. And what they see sets fear stirring in their hearts. Finally, one of them raises his crook staff to point toward the valley, and he says anxiously,
"Jonathan, a cloud of dust. The whole valley is a cloud of dust."
"Yes. And the dust rises as though it were stirred by many hooves and many feet."
"It comes from the road. Is that what you meant to say, Jonathan?"
"Yes, Daniel."
"Then you think as I do."
"If you mean it looks like armies are on the move, Yes, I think the same.
Perhaps we should go further up into the hills.
To save the sheep?
Yes. When war comes, who is it feeds Caesar's army? We do. The sheep and the lambs we risk our lives to protect are torn from our arms by Roman soldiers.
If it is an army down there, we should move up into the hills. But I don't think it is.
What else can it be?
Do you see the glinting of shiny steel or silver? Do you see spears glistening in the sun?
No, but then there's so much dust.
I thought of that, too. The dust might obscure the shiny metal. But there's something else missing, too.
What?
The sound of trumpets. Do Romans ever move in silence? No. They want the whole world to know and hear and tremble at the sound of their trumpets. Yet we hear nothing.
Strange. An army that would move in silence.
The greatest story ever told, and I think that was radio at its finest hour. Wouldn't you agree, Ed?
Yes, Dick, that's really one of my most cherished programs.
Well, now let's turn to something in a lighter vein. One of the great comedians of radio, Jack Benny. And I guess Jack was on radio from the early 30s right on through until the late 50s.
He was one of the last surviving programs, and he retained most of the original cast that you will hear this evening. He had Dennis Day with him at the time, Rochester, Don Wilson. He changed orchestra leaders with regularity, but he did retain most of these cast members up until the very end of the show.
Did Jack have some sort of a traditional program, or did it vary from year to year?
In his case, yes, it varied from year to year. Generally, they'd have a Christmas party, and the cast members would come in and cut up.
What vintage are we going to hear tonight?
As near as I can figure, Dick, this goes back to the late 1940s.
Rochester, hand me some more tinsel for the tree, will you?
Here you are, Mr. Benny.
Yeah, I'm sure glad I decided to rent this house for Mr. and Mrs. Martin. It'll be just perfect for the party tonight.
Yeah.
Well, all the tinsel is on. I think I'll put on the ornaments. I'll put this nice red one up. Ouch! See, I'll put the blue one over here, and then... Ouch! And I'll put the green one up on top. There. Ouch! Oh, darn it.
Boss, I told you to get a Christmas tree instead of this cactus plant.
Rochester, I'm not going out and buy a Christmas tree when I have a perfectly good one at home. All right, that must be the gang. You let them in, and I'll go out in the kitchen and get the hors d'oeuvres.
Okay. Well, hello,
Rochester.
Come in.
Come in,
everybody. Mr. Benny's in the kitchen. He'll be right out. Make yourselves at home.
Hey, Jack's got a nice place here.
Yeah, but it's so cluttered up. Rochester, help me clean it up. I'll throw some of the stuff out.
Not that, not that. That's the Christmas tree.
Kids, I'm glad you're all here. We'll have a nice... Oh, there's the phone.
I'll get it, boss.
Thanks, Rochester.
Gee, I'm embarrassed, Mr. Benny. I got you a gift, but I left it at my hotel room.
Oh, that's all right, Dennis. You didn't have to bother getting me anything anyway.
Well, truthfully, I didn't know what to get you. You have practically everything, but I went all over Palm Springs and I finally found something.
Really? What'd you get me, Dennis?
A Gila monster.
A Gila monster?
Yeah, the man only charged me $3 for it.
Dennis, a Gila monster is a deadly, poisonous, and vicious reptile. Why, it could snap a man's arm off.
I wonder it took him so long to wrap the package.
Oh, it's great to hear those voices again, the voices of Jack Benny and all the cast. Ed, let's turn now to a more traditional Christmas presentation, and perhaps one of the most popular of all radio programs, Amos and Andy.
This show is especially, I think, good for this time of the year because it was probably done more often than any other program on radio. I think they started this particular show back in the early 30s, and it continued right up till the time that they left the air. So it was probably done maybe 30 different occasions, this same particular broadcast we're going to hear this evening.
Now, they used something a bit different from the usual Christmas traditions. They incorporated the Lord's Prayer into their Christmas presentation, didn't they?
Yes, and even as a dialogue will point out, this is not what you would associate with during Christmas time. This is more, you know, a year-round type of a favorite. But as Amos says during the excerpt here, that it is especially rewarding to hear this at Christmas time because it does fit into the spirit of the season very nicely.
Daddy, will you turn on the little radio for a minute before I go to sleep?
Well, just for a minute or two. I'll snap it on for you. Now, let it warm up a few seconds. We don't want to wake up baby.
Oh, music never wakes him up, Daddy.
Well, now, let me straighten your covers out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas choir continues with the Lord's Prayer.
Well, now, get under the covers, dear.
Daddy, could you get some Christmas music on the radio?
Why, darling, this is the very best Christmas music you could get. They're going to sing the Lord's Prayer.
I've been saying the Lord's Prayer with Mommy. She's been teaching it to me.
Yeah, I know she is.
What does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
Well, it means an awful lot. And with the world like it is today, it seems to have a bigger meaning than ever before, honey.
But what does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
Now, you lay down and you listen.
All right.
Now, the first line of the Lord's Prayer is this. Our Father, which art in heaven. That means Father of all that is good, where no wrong can ever dwell.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, Hallowed be thy name. That means, darling, that we should love and respect all that is good. And then after that it says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now that means, darling, as we clean our hearts of all hate and selfishness and fill our hearts with love, the good, the true, and the beautiful, then this earth will be just like heaven.
That would be wonderful, Daddy.
Then it says, Give us this day our daily bread. Now that means, honey, to feed our hearts and minds with kindness, with love and courage, which will make us strong for our daily task. Now then after that, the next line of the Lord's Prayer is this, honey. And forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors. Do you remember the golden rule?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, that means that we must keep the golden rule and do unto others as we would want them to do unto us. And then it says after that, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So that means, my darling, to ask God to help us do and see and think right so that we will neither be led or tempted by anything in the world that is bad. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That means, my darling, that all the world and everything in it belongs to God's kingdom. Everything. Your mommy, your daddy, your little brother, your grandma, you and everybody. And as we know that and act as if we do know it, that, my dear daughter, is the real spirit of Christmas.
That's good, Daddy.
Well, we come now to the special feature of tonight's Echoes of Christmas Past. A revisit to Lum and Abner. When did this show begin on radio?
Well, like most of the others we played, Dick, it goes back many, many years. I believe it started in 1932.
Well, before we hear tonight's excerpt, we're going to hear from Chet Lauk, who portrayed Lum for many, many years. I understand he is living in Arkansas now.
He is, Dick, and in fact, they're playing some of the Lum and Abners over the local station there, and a friend of mine, George Jennings, arranged for this tape, which we are now going to play for your audience.
Hi, Ed. Just want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Grandpappy Spears doing the talking. Aye, Grannies, I'll drink to that.
Yes, Mom, me too.
Mr. Locke, this is 1968. The Christmas program, if it were still on the air, would be about 35 years old. What are your general feelings about that particular show?
Well, I think our traditional Christmas show was perhaps the nicest thing Lum and Abner ever did, with no attempt at comedy. It was a serious thing. But at least we had enough requests in the early years that we were inclined to repeat it. And after that, we found that was an easy way to prepare our Christmas program, so we repeated it voluntarily. We were broadcasting out of Cleveland, Ohio at that time. Our sponsor was the Ford Motor Company. And I remember the day we wrote it was Christmas Eve. And most of the staff was taking the day off, observing the holiday, and just had a skeleton staff around the WTAM studios in Cleveland. And a few of them dropped by our office. We had an office right in the studio at that time. And we had several interruptions while we were preparing it. But so it was written under difficulties. But after we knew that we were going to repeat it, we thought, well, we'll sit down and polish that script and do it over. And you know, we made two or three attempts to try to improve that script and were never able to do it. We couldn't delete anything because it all led up to the climax, which you will hear in a moment.
Mr. Locke, I'd like to thank you for being with us today. Do you have any final comments to make before we broadcast the Christmas program?
I'll say this, the very end of that show, I never went off the air without tears running down my face.
You
I don't
really
know why I could not do that show without almost bawling.
Granny's Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Aye, dog is Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, Jot'em Down Store. This is Lum and Abner.
This being the Christmas.
Tears running down my face. I don't know why I could not do that show without almost bawling.
Granny's Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Aye, dog is Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, Jot'em Down Store. This is Lum and Abner.
This being the Christmas season, Lum and Abner and their sponsors wish that they might do something for you, their radio listeners, that would add still more pleasure and enjoyment to the occasion. With this thought in mind, your old Pine Ridge friends are repeating their traditional Christmas show. Like the narrative of the Nativity itself, Lum and Abner's Christmas story has become more beautiful and meaningful with the passing of the years. It was in 1933 that they first told this simple legend of a humble event that took place here in America, in Pine Ridge. A tale which reflects Bethlehem's wondrous miracle. And now, once more, we invite you to listen to Lum and Abner's Christmas Story. As we look in on the little community of Pine Ridge today, a picture of complete peace and contentment greets our eyes. It's a clear, still evening this Christmastide night, and the whole countryside is wrapped in a clean, white blanket of snow which has fallen rather heavily all day long. Here and there on the deserted streets, we see an occasional home where the lights of a Christmas tree in the front window still twinkle in the dark of the night. And as we pass through town and come to the outskirts, we catch up with three old fellows trudging along through the snow on the road which leads from Pine Ridge out into the countryside. Getting closer, we see there are Lum, Abner, and Grandpappy Spears. And as we join them, we find that they're on a real Christmas mission. Listen.
Yeah, sure, we're headed right now, are you, Grandpap?
Yeah, I know this is the way, Abner. Doc Miller rode his horse over here. You see his tracks there in the snow.
Well, it must be the old Gaddis place, then.
Yeah, that's just about where it's at, all right. There ain't nothing but the barn left over there, though. That house burnt down 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, Doc says it's due east from that road where we turned off.
Due east?
Yeah, which way is east? I ain't paid no attention to the direction.
Wait a minute, whereabouts is the east star?
There it is, right ahead of us. We're going right, men. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, we can just follow the east star.
Yeah, that ought to lead us to it, all right.
How'd you find out about these folks, Grandpap?
Well, Doc Miller and his woman ate dinner over at our place, and we were sitting there visiting after we got done eating, and the telephone rung and told Doc to get right over here.
Well, who done the calling?
Oh, some feller named Joe something another. Forget what he did call his name. He had went over to some neighbor's house to call. Said they'd been into the county seat to pay their taxes and weren't no room at the hotel, so they come out here to this old barn to spend the night.
Well, this ain't fitting weather to have to stay out in the barn.
And they said they was sort of expecting the baby to be born tonight, huh?
Yeah, that's the reason they called Doc Miller.
What's the matter, Abner?
My arms is getting tired here, fellas.
Well, here, let me carry them blankets a while, and you can carry this oil heater. Is that box of groceries getting heavy, Grandpap?
No, I'm all right. Ought to be there directly anyhow.
This snow sure tires a body out walking through it, you know it.
Yeah, well, maybe we're walking a little too fast for you, Abner. Here, you take the lantern, too.
Oh.
Yes, sir, it's mighty thought of you fellers to come over here at night this way. I sort of hated to call you to get out on Christmas, but after Doc left, me and the woman got to talking about how pitiful it was that that couple was having to stay out here in this barn with nothing to eat and all.
Well, I'm just glad you called me, Grandpap. Just proud of a chance to help them.
Yeah, this makes it seem more like Christmas to me, doing for somebody else.
Why, sure.
You know, you just can't do things to make others happy without making yourself happy at the same time. Trouble with a lot of us, we sort of lose the Christmas idea altogether. Think too much about ourselves. The real Christmas spirit is the happiness we get out of making others happy.
Now, if it's the old Gaddis place, we ought to be able to see it from the top of this hill here.
Wait a minute, I believe that's the barn yonder, ain't it?
Yep, that's where they're at.
Well, that's due east from where we was at, all right, for there's the east star right over the top of the barn there.
Yeah, there's Doc's horse tied to the fence there.
Yeah, this
is the place. See the light shining through the cracks in the walls.
Yeah, sir, it's just a shame that them folks never let some of us know they needed a place to stay. We've got plenty of room over at the place, and we'd have just been plumb glad to have them.
Well, this man that called Doc said he was looking for a place to stay and seen this barn weren't being used, so they just put up there for the night.
Well, whereabouts do they live, Grandpap? Did he say?
Yeah, they're from over about Pleasant Valley, Summers.
Pleasant Valley?
Yeah, he told Doc he never had no cash money, taking every nickel he had to pay his taxes, but said if he'd make the call, he'd work it out quick as he could.
Well, old Doc never refused a call in his life, I don't reckon.
No. Yeah, I've always said that Doc never practiced medicine for what money he got out of it as much as he does for the good that he can be to his feller man.
No, sir, if there ever was a man that's got a preserve seat in the better world, it's old Doc Miller.
Yeah.
We better not be talking too loud, fellas. Now, we don't want to disturb him none.
No. Let's all be as quiet as we can here.
Yeah, we gotta let Doc know we're here some way or other. I reckon it won't hurt nothing to tap on the door sort of gentle.
No, no. Go ahead, Lum. They'll be needing this oil stove in there.
I don't hear a sound in there.
I don't believe you knocked quite loud enough, Lum. Maybe they never heard you.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Here comes somebody to the door.
Oh.
Well, howdy, Doc.
Oh, hello there. Well, what are you three old codgers doing out here this time of the night?
Why, we just got to thinking after you left, Doc, these folks might be needing something.
Yeah, Doc, we brung a oil stove and some bed covers.
And here's a box of groceries.
Well, now, they're sure needing them. Haven't got any heat of any kind in there. Using what little hay was left for a bed, I took and piled it all up in the manger and made a pretty good bed, but now these covers will just come in awful handy.
How's the lady, Doc?
Oh, getting along as well as could be expected, Lum. I'll take these things on in and have her husband light this heater and warm that place up a little. You men had better stay out here for a while.
Yeah, sure, sure. You go ahead, Doc. We'll wait out here.
If there's anything we can do, Doc, just let us know.
Yes, all right, thank you.
Doc, what kind of work does this feller do?
Oh, he said a while ago that he was a carpenter by trade, Lum. Said he'd been out of work for quite a while, though. Well, here, I'd better get back inside here.
Yeah, yeah.
Said he was a carpenter, huh?
Yeah. I'm just thinking. We've been talking about building that loading platform at the back door of the store, Abner, and I think it'd be a pretty good idea to get this feller to help us.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Lum. Might get him to do a little fixing up in the store there, too, while he's at it.
Well, he'll want to be nigh his wife and baby for a few days now.
Oh, sure, sure.
Quick as Doc thinks it's safe for him to be moved, I'm going to insist on him coming right over there to our place and staying.
Well, that'd be the best place in the world for him, Grandpap. That woman of yours, Aunt Charity, could take care of him better than anybody I know.
Yes, sir, I'm just thinking here. Here we are, three old codgers, getting along in years, standing around out here waiting. Waiting for a little baby to be born. It's sort of like as if we was waiting for somebody to take our place.
Well, of course, we don't like to talk about such things, but we've about served our time, I reckon.
Yeah, won't be long before we'll have to move on. Be somebody else to take our place.
Yeah, they'll soon forget about us.
It's sort of like the years. There's been a lot of things happen, but they'll soon be forgot. There's been lots of joys and happiness. On the other hand, there's been lots of heartaches, lots of blasted hopes. But there's a new year coming. We'll all get to start all over again. And we're sort of like the years, us three old fellers.
Well, it's just like I've always said.
Wait a minute. I believe somebody coming to the door.
Oh, maybe it's Doc.
Any news yet, Doc?
Well, men, it's a fine baby boy.
And so it came to pass that a little child was born on December 25th in an old barn in the countryside near the peaceful little community of Pine Ridge. Friends, we hope you've enjoyed this, Lum and Abner's traditional Christmas story.
Well, Ed, I want to thank you very much for sharing these beautiful memories with us again tonight. You've made our Christmas 1968 complete with these shows that go back 20, 30 years. Well, tell me, do you have all of your Christmas shopping done yet?
No, Dick, but I'm going to really start working on it, you know, since, well, how many, 2 days are left, so I think I'm going to get started pretty soon.
Well, good for you. And Ed, Merry, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Dick, and I thank you very much for having me on your show.
Tonight, once again, you heard the greatest story ever told. The voices of Jack Benny, Mary Livingston, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, Don Wilson, Amos and Andy, and Lum and Abner. This program was written for radio by Richard Bertelman. Sound patterns by Wayne Mulligan. Echoes of Christmas Past was edited by Dick Zwirko. This is Dick Bertel speaking. Good night, everybody.